It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news 7 days a week. And of course, you can catch us every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Hope your weekend is going well. Sunday is here, March the 3rd for 2024, and it's been another busy week. I don't know what your week has looked like, but coming up, we're going to be talking real estate across the last 7 days, reflecting back. And there was plenty of property news, plenty of which we discussed starting on Monday when we spoke with Anthony Molinaro from Melbourne's Moonee Valley. And we talked about the local real estate market there as well as auctions. And Anthony had a $300,000 option for a one bedder. Very, very attractive for first home buyers. We also caught up on Tuesday with Margaret Lomas about buying a unit and whether long-term, they make sense when stepping up into a house. Luke Dawson from Southwestern Suburbs in Perth. This was an interesting one. We talked about the top 10 cheapest coastal areas around Australia, and it will definitely surprise you if you missed this podcast. It's a great one. So we've got some of the details coming up. And Gemma Turner there in Adelaide was talking about the suburbs and why coastal lifestyle is both popular and affordable where she is. So that was kind of how our week sort of shaped up. And that is all coming up in just a moment.
Every week, unravel the real estate market to empower your real estate knowledge.
Yeah, of course, of course. Look, 300 grand won't get you a one bedder next to Queen's Park or next to the Maribyrnong River, but you know, 300,000 if you're slightly out of Moonee Valley, you know, if you're going into, let's say, Pascavale or something around there, then you can still get, you know, just under 40 square meters, a one bedroom, one bathroom, one car spot. I've actually got one for sale at the moment. The top end's 299. Of course, it's been very popular within the marketplace, but you know, there is entry level property out here.
And how is that whole first home buyer market where you are? Is it sort of bubbling at the moment?
Correct. It is bubbling and we're still seeing it driving the market. We're really seeing that first home buyer drive the market as well as first home buyer couples where you've got the dual income driving the market as well. That's a lot of our sales.
And additionally, of course, we've got changes in land tax policies in Victoria, which is dissuading multiple property landlords from retaining their investment. How much has that been echoed to you from investors that you're talking about in terms of land tax policies?
It hasn't been directly spoken to me about, to be honest. I have heard it through the grapevine that land tax is becoming a big factor. And, you know, personally, I pay land tax. I do know how much it can hurt certain investors, but it's mostly, you know, people coming off that interest only. Just when repayments are almost doubling, then, you know, it can make a massive difference to lifestyle more than anything.
All right. So just before we leave you there in Moonee Valley, things by all accounts from your end seem to be going along pretty nicely. Is there anything that you see on the horizon in Moonee Valley, say in the next few months, that might put a little bit of a kink in that?
No, not on our end. What the Reserve Bank does, of course, always affects everyone in the grand scheme of things. But even when we did see those rapid interest rate rises, our market was still going along fine, which was good. You know, there's always people buying, there's always people selling. I guess it just comes down to how many are doing it at one time.
Decode the property market with insider knowledge and insights to better navigate your real estate journey on the Real Estate Podcast.
Well, I haven't been back that long. I actually went to Antarctica this year, so it was pretty amazing.
What? Tell us about that.
I did an expedition cruise out of South America down through the Drake Passage, which is fondly known as either the Drake Lake or the Drake Shake. And we definitely got the Drake Shake going through there, down into Antarctica. Being an expedition cruise, you're out in kayaks and zodiacs and all that sort of thing every day. You know, whales just coming up to the surface right beside your kayak, penguins chasing you in the zodiac. It's absolutely fabulous.
Wow. I didn't realise that you could get into kayaks and sort of have a bit of a paddle. I think that'll come as news to a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's great. Freezing and your hands basically, fused to the paddle because they're so cold. But you're so fascinated by everything that you're seeing while you're down there that you forget about the cold pretty quickly and just really admire the breathtaking scenery. We had perfect weather for 5 days. So we were out on the ice every day for 5 days, exploring some of those scientific stations that are down there, just seeing wildlife, incredible wildlife, seals, penguins of every type that you can imagine. And of course, those whales, which often would come up alongside the ship and, just swim around. And it was fabulous.
Wow, that sounds like a very sort of one-off thing to do. And did they show you the shelves that have sort of broken away and what global warming is doing?
Not so much, although I was in the Arctic last year and I did see a fair bit of evidence of receding glaciers when I was there.
All right, so from glaciers to first home buyers and spending all this time, 6 years potentially to buy a house. But as I mentioned, this 3.5 years to get into the property market, not just Woden Valley there in Canberra, but other markets that people should sort of look at, because it's always a bit of a struggle to just try and keep pace of the real estate market going up.
Mm-hmm. And look, let's talk specifically about Woden, first of all, very quickly, because I know that you introduced the show with that. Woden Valley, formerly a bit of a commercial area with a lot of businesses, now starting to get units and a lot of trendy eateries and bars and things like that. You know, it's in the Phillip area, which is southwest of Canberra. And it's an area that hasn't previously had a lot of units, so it's quite new. And it is coming to the attention of a lot of young first time buyers. But let's talk about what happens when you buy a unit. And Australia as a whole still hasn't gotten over that entire great Australian dream being to own a home with a backyard. And when most people buy units in Australia, they're doing so with the thought that it's going to become a stepping stone into that house. It's a cheaper option, as you say, half the time to save for a deposit, get into that unit, wait for a little while, get some equity, and then leverage up into a house.
Yeah, and of course, people looking at cutting almost in half the save time for deposits will be attracted for sure into the units. But you also see that this isn't the end all of what people should be factoring into the process of buying a unit. So what else should first home buyers be considering and thinking about, especially around the question of what comes next, what comes after the unit?
In other countries, many Asian countries, people know that they're going to be living in a unit for the rest of their lives, and that's what they aim for. And we see Hong Kong and Singapore and areas like that with an abundance of units, and people live in them, and entire generations pass units down from, father to son and mother to daughter. We don't have that kind of culture yet in Australia, and I think we're still some way off that. Hence, we see the very big differential between that first home unit that you might buy and that first home that you might buy in a similar area. So the problem becomes this: you buy into a unit and you have only half the deposit required. But when it grows a little and you're ready to get into a house, it still lags behind that house. And it might be just as difficult at the tail end of that strategy to get up into that house, unless you're also able to save a lot of money alongside the mortgage repayment that you're making. And the reason that can be hard for people getting into units is that these days, with all of the things going wrong with units, and 80% of all units in Australia since private certification are either leaky or have some other structural problem. So what we see happening now is we see strata levies fairly high. And because you're paying a big chunk a year, sometimes between $6,000 and $15,000 a year for strata levies, then you're unable to save that gap deposit you need when you come to sell your unit to make that leap up into a house.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on The Real Estate Podcast.
Absolutely, yeah. So look, the coastal lifestyle is certainly one of the big attractions of people looking to buy in Perth. Golden Bay in particular on the list there, sitting with a median price around the $533,000 mark, considerably lower than the current Perth median, which is nudging towards that $600,000. So certainly a great option for first home buyers, some investors and the like. So it's a great opportunity for people.
Yeah, and it came in at number two on this list. Number one, I haven't heard of the area called Tiwi. It's in Darwin in Northern Territories. And the second one from WA was Safety Bay at $579,000. What can you tell us about Safety Bay?
Yeah, so Safety Bay is a little further north than Golden Bay. You'll find Golden Bay is around the Mandurah outskirts. Safety Bay getting more towards the Rockingham beaches. So again, still at a really attractive price point around that $579,000 median. You know, you can pick up a really nice 4x2 home within really walking distance to the beach in both of those WA beachside suburbs.
Oh, this is such a good subject, talking about the beach this morning. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is with these first home buyers, with the government guarantee scheme, you know, they're looking hopefully between $500,000, $600,000 getting into the property market. I mean, this is actually in the lane, isn't it? If you look at $533,000 for a beachside property.
Yeah, 100%, Craig. It's we're finding in our market a lot of the first home buyers are almost tapping out at that 600 to really take advantage of the government scheme. So a lot of the buyers are looking to further south and certainly towards some of these coastal options, which are really well priced. So great opportunity to get into your first home. And with the weather over here of late, it's been a bit of a heat wave. So, you know, nothing wrong with going to work and coming home and being walking distance from the beach. It's a great option.
Yeah, and if you have a look at the price range from the cheapest to the most expensive, you're looking at a range of from just over 520K up to just below 660K. So there's a little bit of a split there. Some of those places, did you know all of them?
I've got to be honest, I've not really heard of a lot of them. I guess at the price points, the more well-known beachside suburbs are probably not hitting this list, but, you know, some great options there. Certainly the two WA ones, as I mentioned, are, you know, becoming more popular as the market grows, I guess.
Ready to step up your property knowledge? Access powerful insights with us.
Yeah. So I grew up in Aldinga Beach. I've lived here since I was five and still live locally. And this March, actually, I have been with the company McGain Real Estate for 10 years, selling in and around Aldinga Beach for that whole length of time.
I mean, you must have really sort of noticed that the market has changed probably quite dramatically. You go back 10 years. I mean, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it, in terms of what is going on in the suburbs. Perhaps talk about the demographics, because that is always interesting to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the demographics and the buyers we're seeing choosing to pick Aldinga Beach to live or holiday in has changed dramatically, but also just the conditions within the market. We've gone from your days on market being 90 to 120 days on average pre sort of COVID times to now being under 14 days pretty consistently. And also one of the biggest things I've seen change over the last sort of 12 months to 3 years has been that people are prepared to commute from further away to live in the lifestyle that Aldinga Beach and the south coast of Adelaide has to offer. Historically, it was a very holiday-based suburb or a suburb that people chose to live in so long as they worked pretty close by or had schools pretty close by. Now I'm seeing a really big transition to people being prepared to commute to schools, commute to work, to make sure on their days off and when they're home, they're living in amongst what the Fleurieu Peninsula has to offer.
Yeah, I mean, bang for bang, it's just a completely different market. And we've been talking about the Adelaide market, you know, for the last couple of years. It has really been the standout darling performer.
Yeah, very much so. And look, south of Adelaide specifically now has a lot of focus with government spend and infrastructure. There's been a lot of focus on the north and the northern suburbs for quite some time. And during COVID, as we saw across the country, most states and most suburbs increased significantly in capital value. But there's certainly a lot now happening down south to hopefully maintain and continue to grow those prices.
And Gemma, I want to ask you about these first home buyers, what is happening in your market around this, particularly for 2024, and how much activity are you seeing?
Yeah, look, Aldinga Beach and most of the south coast of Adelaide has always been quite popular for first home buyers. It's been more of your entry level prices and against that lifestyle that a lot of your first home buyers are seeking. Through the last couple of years, with the whole state having significant amounts of capital growth, it still meant that south of Adelaide offers really great bang for buck and value when first home buyers are considering all suburbs throughout Adelaide. And we're getting a lot of activity throughout the suburbs that I sell in specifically from first home buyers.
All right. So we've got the first home buyers listening to this morning, Gemma. Why don't you throw up a couple of great suburbs that are good buying right at the moment for 2024 in your area?
Yeah, look, a couple of suburbs that come to mind is Selix Beach. We'll start off there. That suburb offers really great value for money if you're looking for a full-size block, so 600 square metres or larger. You'll have slightly older homes if you're wanting to keep the price point a bit more affordable, but you're right on the beach and you've got beautiful big block sizes. As you come a little bit down the coast, Aldinga Beach is a suburb of almost 4,000 homes, so you'll have a lot of variety and a lot of options from the big blocks and the older homes right through to brand new homes on smaller allotments. Another suburb which is a little bit more inland, so you're not paying the price point of being on the coast, is Morphett Vale. That is the biggest suburb that we have in our council area. So again, it offers a really great variety of homes from townhouses and units right through to large homes on large block sizes.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.